Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm super, 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 super excited to be here tonight. I'm super excited to be sharing what I believe God laid on my heart a while back, and I was reviewing my lesson this week, and I just feel like the first time Pastor asked me to preach, I was very, very excited, and I'll never forget, I titled my message, "What's Up With Those Christians?" And I talked about being set apart and loving people like Christ loves people, and I realized that this message almost has kind of the same theme. It just kind of goes another route. So I'm going to pray and then I will get started with tonight's message. God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for all the blessings in our lives. Lord, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness. And Lord, we thank you for how good you've been to us, Lord. And I just ask right now, Lord, that every single one of us in this room, in this church tonight, Lord, I just pray that we would be changed, God. I pray that the people that are struggling tonight, God, would be encouraged. That the people that walked in this church tonight, Lord, that feel hopeless, God, that you would fill them with hope. Father, I pray that you would use these words, this message that you've given me, God, to change people's lives tonight for eternity, God. Because it only takes 1 minute. It only takes 1 second with you in your presence, Lord, to change us. And I just pray that it wouldn't be about me, God. It would be all about you, Lord, that you would get all the glory tonight, God. And I just thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like Pastor said, oh, I love that you guys are all over here because then I don't have to worry about going over there. So, Pastor says I'm, what did you say? Crazy and bodacious. So I'm just going to validate that right now. Does anyone dance and sing in the car? And do you find it to be dangerous? It's not, when there's praise music on in my Jeep, it's not, sorry, Graham, but it's just not safe because I'm like, you know, closing my eyes. I'm like, keep my eyes open. Called my dad on the way here and I'm like, can you pray for me? But keep your eyes open. So I'm going to have, and don't judge me, I'm going somewhere with this. This is a secular song. It has no swear words. It's completely clean. Can you play it for me just a little bit? Because this is where I got the message from tonight.
After all you put me through,
just listen to it. Half of you probably know it.
But in the end, I want to thank you because you made me that much stronger.
Well, I thought I knew you again. That's who were true.
Okay, you can take it off. So this song is Christina Aguilera, Fighter. Has anyone ever heard this song? Okay, so she's, in my opinion, she's probably talking about a past relationship. That's not how I was referring to it at all. When I was driving home one Thursday night, that song came on the radio, and it just spoke to my heart because I was thinking about all the times the devil tried to get me down. Some of the lyrics are, you were there by my side, always down for the ride, but your joy ride just came down in flames because your greed sold me out in shame. Because if it wasn't for all the things that you tried to do, I wouldn't know just how capable I am to pull through. How could this man, I'm thinking the enemy, I thought I knew, turn out to be unjust, so cruel, could only see the good in you, pretended not to see the truth. You tried to hide yourself, disguise yourself through living in denial, but in the end, you'll see you won't stop me. And it just stopped me dead in my tracks because I was thinking about all the times Satan tried to do that to me. He took my mom away from me. He tried taking my dad away from me. He tried to plant all these lies in my head when I was in high school that you're not smart. You'll never go anywhere in life. He tried to discourage me when I was in the movement, when I was in a ministry school. He told me, you will never be good enough to work at the church. They won't take you serious enough to be the children's pastor. What else did he do? He brought me away. When I was in college, I was not living the way God wanted me to live. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I am a sinner saved by grace. And that song just spoke to me because I know that so many of us in this room are in the same battle. We are battling Satan's lies. We are struggling with resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness and jealousy. And we're struggling with all these things that do not come from God. They come from Satan. So that song by Christina Aguilera is the song that honestly gave me this message. So, yes, the Bible's coming now, but it's just crazy. That's how my brain thinks. Secular song, and I'm just thinking, I'm like into this song, and I'm like singing, because the devil tries to knock us down, but through all of that, God makes us stronger. God, like, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here today. So all the beating, all the punches that the devil tried to punch at me has only made me stronger. Has only brought me to this point right here tonight. So I was Chris Buzniak's like, what are you gonna name your message? I'm like, Chris, I don't know. I've been going back and forth. It doesn't matter. And he's like, you know what? He's like, just you read your Bible. You'll open up a scripture, and the title will come out of the scripture. So I did. I listened to Chris Buzniak because he is the man. I love watching God change his life. So the scripture that I'm using for tonight is Ephesians 6:12. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And this goes along with a song. I think so many times we think we're fighting for God's kingdom when in reality, we're doing the exact opposite. And I have this visual. I don't have any Holy Spirit popcorn like Bradley did, but I do have a glove. And when I think of the song Fighter, I think of a glove, I think of a boxer, and I have all these words over the glove. I wanted to leave you guys with a visual tonight because this is not from God, this is from Satan. And we need to be able to distinguish what's coming from God and what's coming from Satan, because if we're continually believing the devil's lies, we are not going to get anywhere in life. So this glove says resentment, anger, pride, bitterness, addiction, jealousy, hatred, gossip, pain, all these things that we struggle with. That we all struggle with. So, Ephesians 6:12 says, the only way Christians can attain victory is to separate ourselves from all forms of evil. And obviously, that's easier said than done. It's a battle. We're in a battle. And we need to be aware of this battle. When you think of a fighter, when you think of sports teams, they are interested in looking at their opponent, right? They need to know what they're fighting up against. We need to know what we're fighting up against, and we need to know how to fight. Because if we're fighting with this, we're not going to get anywhere. Just like Pastor said, if we're getting offended when people say things to us, and we keep taking these punches, we're not going to get anywhere. Because we can't. We got to stop fighting with this, and we got to start fighting with this. But we can't fight with this if we don't know what it says. We can't fight with this if we don't know what if we're not spending time with God. We need to know what the word says, because God gave us this word to live by. This book is filled with knowledge as it falls. Mine's falling apart. That's a good sign. It's the way to life. So, I tend to be a little scattered brained. That's what my grandma says my weakness is. I'm always asking my grandma and my dad, what are my weaknesses? Well, you're a little scattered brained. So tonight, in order to stay focused, I did do some bullets. So I have 5 bullets tonight for us. So how do we fight? We are in this war, and we need to stay away from all forms of evil. So how do we fight? Number one, we fight with love. We need to be remembered by the way we love. And so the scripture that always comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 3:13. And we think of love as patient, love as kind. But I want to back up a little bit because I find this scripture to be so powerful. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I am to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. The first thing that stands out is love. People need to know we love God by the way we love them. The only way we'll be set apart is if we show them love. And it goes on to say, I believe this isn't NIV, it's a different version. The Message, thank you. It says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love is selfless. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't forceful. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. We cannot hold people accountable to who they were in the past. We've all sinned, and we've all fallen short. Doesn't take pleasure in flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. So going more into that, how do we love like Jesus? We don't love, I'm not talking about human love. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm in love, you know. I'm talking about God's love. And God's love, as said in Luke 6:27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Loving people like God is not easy. It's hard, but God calls us to love people when it's hard. God calls us to love people when it doesn't make sense. God calls us to love people when it's not, when it doesn't seem to be deserved. God doesn't love us for who we are. God loves us for who He is. And when we love others, we don't love others because of who they are. We love because of who we are. So I'm wondering, how are you treating the people around you? How do you conduct yourself at work? How do you conduct yourself at home? I feel guilty saying that out loud. Sometimes I'm a brat. Yep, I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I can be sassy. But how are you treating people, really? At work, do people know you're a Christian? Are you respectful at work? Do people know you're even a Christian? Do people even know about your faith? People should know. People should know we should be set apart by the way we love, by the way we respect, by the way we show kindness. The Bible says that we love because God loves us. So there we move into number two, is we must fight with forgiveness. And this is a really hard one because I know there's many of us in this room tonight that are really hurt. I know there's a lot of us in this room that have been through things that are terrible. There's probably things that you've been through that I can't even imagine in my mind. But God calls us to forgive. If God can forgive me for all of my sins, and God can forgive you for all your sins, God can help you to forgive the people that have hurt you and help you to forgive the people that have wronged you. But you don't know what He did to me, Shandy. You don't know what she said to me. You don't know what I've been through. I don't, and I never will. But God does. And that's the whole reason why He went to the cross. If we don't allow God to purify our hearts, there's no point in the resurrection. There's no point in Easter. We're celebrating Easter because Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again so we could spend eternity with Him in heaven, so He could purify our hearts. God did not create us to walk around with bitterness and resentment in our hearts. And when you begin to pray for your enemies, when you begin to pray for the people that have hurt you and who have wronged you, God will open up your heart and God will help you see them through His lens, because guess what? God loves our enemies. God loves everybody. For all the parents in here, no matter what your kids do, you're going to love them. That's the same for God. God looks at us and He just has His arms right open. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. I forgive you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And then it goes on to say in Matthew that we need to forgive. This isn't me. This is God's word. For if you forgive others for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when it comes to justice, I think a lot of times it's hard to forgive because we want justice. If they did that to me, they deserve. Leave that in God's hands. We'll all answer to God. God, it's going to be way worse than anything that we could ever put someone through. They're going to have to answer to God for that. And if you look to God and you trust God and you believe God for greater things, He will heal your heart. I'm a prime example. I could go into depth of the things that I've been through and how God has healed my heart. Joyce Myers. Who knows Joyce Myers? Who knows her testimony? I want to give you guys a very, very in-depth, disturbing example of why we forgive. Joyce Myers was sexually, mentally, physically, emotionally abused her entire childhood, the famous preacher, by her father. If you want to listen to the details, feel free to go on YouTube. They're very in-depth. She's very, very descriptive of what he did. He made her watch him do very disturbing things, and he did very disturbing things to her. After 40 years passed, in 2001, while Joyce Myers' father lay on a hospital bed, weak and frail, he told her, Joyce, I am so sorry. I am sorry you feel I hurt you, but I still don't understand what was so bad about what I did. After years, not a year, she went through, I want to say, at least 9 or 10 years of this. Joy said, with incredible sadness, she left the hospital room not knowing if her father would live through the night and certain that if he died, he'd go straight to hell. God, this is the best part. This still blows my mind. God told Joyce that she was to move closer to her father and take care of him. It was a very difficult act of obedience. Meyer's husband, Dave, strongly disagreed with the plan, but it was soon confirmed that God had spoken to Joyce, and Dave agreed to follow his leading. Every chance she got, Joyce showed her father she loved him. She loved him. After all that abuse and all the terrible things that that man did to her, every chance she got gets better. Every need he had, she met. Could you do that? I was thinking about that. Could I do that? Joyce bought clothes and food and made all basic needs and did everything she could to show him love after everything he did to her. One day, Meyer's mother found the father crying. He called Joyce, asking her and her husband to come right away. When they arrived, he broke down in tears, and this is what Joyce's father said to her. "I'm sorry for what I did to you. I've wanted to say this for a long time, but I didn't have the guts." Then he looked at Dave and began to weep. "Dave, I am so sorry for what I did to you, and I'm so sorry that I hurt your wife. Please forgive me." Joyce knew in that moment that the miracle of salvation was there for her father. She knelt down beside him, and together they prayed the sinner's prayer. Meyers baptized her father on December 2nd in front of hundreds of onlookers at the Dream Center that Joyce Meyer's ministry started in the inner city of St. Louis. Though her father's health remained frail at press time, Joyce reported that his soul is healthier than it's ever been. Judgment will never lead people to Christ. Never. And we think it's our job. It's not our job. Just like Ryan said, I was thinking about that. Just like Ryan said in his message on Sunday, we cannot judge. You are welcome in this church. You got some stuff. I got some stuff. We can work on it together, and we can learn more about God together. Judgment never leads people to Christ. Love leads people to Christ. Radical acts of forgiveness leads people to Christ, because Joyce Meyers wasn't concerned about her feelings, her life, her will, her desires, her pain. She was focused on God. And she allowed God to heal her. God can do that to you. I know there's some of you out there that don't believe me. And I know there's some of you that you're like, "That's a really cool story, but I can't." God can do that for you. He did it for me. I don't even remember the pain I've been through. I can tell you the events that I've been through. When I lost my mom, I can tell you what happened, but God has healed my heart. God has healed my heart. I don't have that pain anymore. When we stop getting, and going along the same lines, we cannot allow ourselves to get offended when non-believers are disrespectful to us. They don't know God. It's so easy to get offended by other people at work, at home, getting coffee, going to the store. When we run into people who are disrespectful to us, we cannot get offended, because that is such a great opportunity to show them God's love. So we need to continually, we can't get offended, because apart from God, people do not know love. We must be love to others regardless of how they treat us. And no, I'm not saying to let them walk all over you. I'm not saying to be a victim. What I'm saying is we are called to love people when it is hard. We are called to love people when it doesn't make any sense. We are called to people when it doesn't seem to be deserved. Judgment leads people away from Christ. People don't want to come to church if they feel like they're being judged. Loving people brings people to Christ. And radical acts of forgiveness can change people's lives forever. Bitterness and resentment will make our hearts toxic. Whether we are aware of it or not, these things inside of our hearts will unconsciously leak into everything we do. Jesus wants to heal and purify our hearts. In my career, I work with people every single day, and it's such a, our minds are a battleground. They're a battlefield, and we need to get control of them. As Christians, as God's people, we need to get control of our thoughts, and we need to know what thoughts are coming from God's kingdom and Satan's dominion place. Bitterness and resentment is going to affect every area of our life, whether we're aware of it or not, and God wants to purify our hearts. And the only way you can do that is if we become conscious of our thoughts and we learn about our identity in Christ and what God's word says about us. So number 3 is we fight with prayer. We fight with the word of God. How can we know God if we don't spend time with him? That's probably the hardest thing. I told myself, I went to a ministry school and we prayed every morning. It was just a normal thing. And I told myself I was never going to lose that time. And it's a battle because I want to work out. I want to not be rushed. I want to spend my time with God. So I have to wake up 4 hours or 5 hours before I go to work. But we need to spend time with God. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, no matter what it is, we need to set our time apart and spend time with God because we need to know what God's trying to say to us. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." That's Jesus speaking. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And that's a struggle for me because many times I honestly don't feel like I hear God's voice. And I'm like, "God," because I'm stubborn. I would literally want to hear Shandy. Like, I really want to hear his voice. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, yes, of course it can happen, but it's not going to happen. And that pushes me to live by faith. What do we do when God doesn't answer our prayers? What do we do when we don't feel God? When we don't feel like he's doing anything for us? What do we do when bad things happen? We walk by faith. We walk by faith. And that's the greatest gift. I can't sing. I can't dance. I'm not very creative. But the greatest gift that I believe that God has given me is my faith. My grandma and I were talking about it last week. I just believe. It's a gift from God. I just believe. I don't question him throughout everything. I don't question God. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live by feelings and emotions. We live by this. And that's why it's so important. We need to know what this says. Because this is God's truth. This is what I live by. Prayer is the most powerful, more powerful than anything else we can do. We need to stop going to people. When something bad happens, what's your first instinct? Oh, I got to call my blah, 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 and I need to talk. Go to God first because he will tell you things that no one else can tell you. And we need to use wisdom when we go to people because chances are there's going to be a bias in there. Don't go to someone. If someone hurts you and you know someone that doesn't like that person, don't go to them and gossip. Gossip is on this glove. Where is this glove? Gossip is on this glove. If someone hurts you, don't go to people and talk, run your mouth. Go to God in prayer. That part. Yeah, you're good. You're setting yourself up for success. They're going to say everything you want them to say. Don't, and I've learned this the hard way. Trust me. That's why I'm speaking about this. Don't go to people. Go to God. I'm telling you, it's so hard. I don't remember this what specifically happened, but I was so mad and I want to talk to someone, and I didn't. I put down my phone and I just listened to worship music, and God changed my heart at that time. Our first instinct needs to be prayer. And we need to realize that prayer is the most powerful thing we can do for people. So many times, especially as a social worker, I want to help. And you know what? I've learned that the more times I can't help and the more time I leave it in God's hands is when God does way more than anything I could personally do myself. That was the first amen I've heard, Paul. What are you doing up there? All right. So I have two more points, and I want to get through them. So let's keep going. So I'm extremely passionate about number four. We fight by living a holy life and an obedient life. I am super passionate about this because that wasn't always me. I was living 1 foot in the kingdom and 1 foot out of the kingdom, and it was terrible. It was really, really terrible because I was walking around with conviction. I was walking around with almost guilt, and I hated it. And once I got rid of that, I got rid of that sin, and God set me free. I felt like it's amazing. Who has ever experienced freedom? Freedom is the most amazing thing you can experience. And if you're in here and you haven't experienced it, I'm telling you right now, you can. God can set you free from whatever is holding you down. We must realize the way God calls us to live our lives and we must realize the way God calls us to live our lives will never make sense to the world. And it shouldn't. It says right in the Bible, it's never going to make sense. The things we do, the things we say, the way we live, when we give our tithes and our offering, when we pray for people, when we go to crazy countries and, you know, help orphans, the things we do, they're never going to make sense to the world. And that's perfectly okay. Therefore, preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And I will keep this very short, but we are not called to go out to bars and to get drunk. We are not called to use drugs. We are not called to go out and have sex. We are not called to go out and have premarital sex. The Bible, God's word is very clear on what we're supposed to do and what we're not to do. And before I finish that sentence, it should never be about when you're in a relationship with God and he changes your life and you fall in love with him, it should never be about, oh, I can do this, but I can't do this. When God changes your life, you desire to please him. You desire to do his will. You desire to live out an obedient life, because when you live out an obedient life is when you'll have the most freedom and the most joy and the most satisfaction, because God gave us his word and he gave us these scriptures to follow in order to prevent us from pain. God calls us to be set apart. Much better, Paul. Okay, so most importantly, I'm obsessed with thoughts. I love counseling. I love psychology because I love becoming more self-aware of my thoughts. And I was trying to distinguish, like I was trying to put these in order of importance. I can't. They're all equally important. We need to love. We need to pray. We need to forgive. We need to live obedient and obedient and holy life. And we need to fight by knowing who we are in Christ. I think the identity is huge. We need to know what God's word says about us. I want to read this because I think it's amazing. I was doing a little research, and this is what I found. Speaking of which, you have approximately anywhere from 30,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And I say that range because some places said 30 and some places 70. Somewhere between that. Regardless, 30,000 thoughts in one day is a lot of thoughts. And Jen Kapika's fridge, there's a little sign on her fridge that says, think about what you're thinking about. Is it still there? Think about what you're thinking about. I was babysitting. I was like, that's really good. We need to know what we're thinking about. How many times do we just go about our day thinking all these thoughts and not having any control over them, not even realizing that half of them are from Satan and half of them are from God? We have to captive every thought that we have and make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? That means when I feel discouraged, when I feel hopeless, when I feel stupid, when I'm having these thoughts of, oh, I'll always be a failure, I'll always be addicted, I'll never be free, my dad didn't love me. You know, all these negative thoughts, those are not from God. And you need to let those go, and you need to pray. And catch those thoughts and take them, thank you, take those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. So anywhere from 30,000 to 70,000. And this is where it gets really interesting. Call me a nerd. So according to Caroline Leaf, she has her PhD in communication pathology, specializing in neuropsychology. 75% to 95%, I believe it's up there, yep, of the illnesses that plague us today are from a direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. It's an epidemic of toxic emotions. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create the conditions for illness. We literally make ourselves sick from the thoughts we have. And I'm thinking, Jesus is all in this, and they aren't even aware of it. Research shows, this is what it says, and this is not from anywhere Christian, just research. Research shows that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. There are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. Toxic waste generated by toxic thoughts causes the following illnesses: diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, allergies. That's just a few. Consciously control your thought life and start to detox your brain. And I just couldn't believe research shows that fear. What does the Bible say about fear? Perfect love casts out fear. So when we know God's love, we need to be casting out that fear all the time. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from Satan. If your thoughts are negative, they're stemming from fear. They're stemming from Satan. They're not from God. And you need to release those thoughts. And they don't have to have any control over you. Many of us feel victim to our thoughts. We don't need to. We can choose happiness. We can choose good joy. And we can choose. It's hard, but we can choose to allow that negativity to go. Medical research increasingly points to the fact that thinking and consciously controlling your thought life is one of the best ways, if not the best way, of detoxing your brain. It allows you to get rid of those toxic thoughts and emotions that can consume and control your mind. So how do we go about that as I wrap up? Psychology would say counseling. Psychology would say treatment. And that's great. I'm obviously I'm a counselor. I'm for counseling. I think it's awesome. I would get counseling. I don't think you need help or need to be sick to be counseled. I think it's great for everyone because we all have stuff we can talk about. Amen. I have stuff I can talk about. You have stuff you can talk about. But we, I'm smiling because I keep catching people smiling at me. So that makes me smile. So how do we captive? How do we take captive every thought? By prayer, by just my whole message. We fight with love. We fight with prayer. We fight with forgiveness. We fight with living an obedient and holy life. And we fight by knowing who our identity is, Christ. How do we know what our identity in Christ is? By spending time with God, by reading his word, by reaching out to our church members and allowing them to speak life into us, allowing them to teach us, allowing them to tell us things that we are terrible at so we can get better. We humble ourselves and we continually reach out to God's word in order to do that. Last slide. That's the best slide. So what does God say about you? What does God think about you? And this is how I'm going to end. And I hope if you guys want this message, I would love to print these slides off for you. We need to post this on our refrigerators and all over our houses, everywhere, because this is what God's word says. You are chosen, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, you are loved, you are accepted, you are adopted into the God's kingdom, you are blessed, and you are victorious. God, I just thank you so much for tonight, Lord, and I thank you so much for these words that you've given me, Lord, and I just pray that you would bless each and every one of us that are in this room. God, I pray that you would use those words, that you would use this glove, Lord, that this would be a visual for us to lay down our gloves and to fight with God's word, Lord. And I pray for anyone who's struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness, resentment. I pray for everyone who's hurting in this room tonight, God, that you would give them hope, that you would give them peace, God, that you would give them restoration, Lord. I pray that your love, Jesus, literally right now would invade our hearts, Lord, that we would love others the way you love others, that we would treat others the way you have treated us, God, that we would forgive people like you have forgiven us, Lord. Help us to be the best walking representation of you, Lord, everywhere we go, everything we say, God, every act, Lord. I pray that our lives would never be the same, Jesus. And I pray that this message would just stay in our brains at all times. That we need to fight your way, not our way. That we would lay down our pride and our jealousy and anything that we struggle with. And we would pick up the word of God. And we would stand on God's promises, Lord. And that we would have great faith. I just thank you so much for tonight. I thank you so much for everyone that's in this room. And I ask that you would bless them greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good.